Good morning. I have my speaker, so you can hear me. Jonathan is gone again, so I will be handling the meeting. Adjust your expectations appropriately. Welcome to First Friday Breakfast Club, an association of gay, bisexual, and transgender men, and the largest breakfast club in Iowa. I've heard that so many times, I almost have it down. It's a tradition of First Friday for first-time attendees to be introduced or introduce themselves. So if there are first-time attendees, please feel free to introduce yourself. No fighting.
I'm John Thompson. I'm not a first time attendee. In fact, I was an original member of the Breakfast Club when it started. 5 years ago, I retired after working in the school district and moved to Phoenix, Arizona. So, back for a high school reunion, I live with this, and this is my partner.
If there are others that did not get introduced, please make them feel welcome. Thank you. Let's see, reminders. I only have one. The Access Line is an online publication. You can get to it from the FFBC website. And in fact, if you haven't been to the FFBC website, there is a lot of information. Brian Taylor Carlson has done a great job. And even the resources page has been totally updated, and there's organizations I've never heard of. I didn't realize we're in Iowa. So, visit it. I only have one announcement, unless someone makes us aware of something. A walk with Senator McCoy in Des Moines Labor Day Parade this Monday, September 5th. Meet at 10:50 a.m. at the State Capitol. The route starts at the Capitol and ends at the State Fairgrounds. And he's hoping for a good crowd to show support for the senator. The board meeting will be next Wednesday, September 5th at my home, since Jonathan will still be gone. Members are welcome. So ask me if you need directions. Newsletter copy deadline is September 12th. And let's see, that's all the announcements I have. So, without further ado, our introduction for the speaker will be Friedhelm Brinkman.
Good morning, everybody. I'm introducing Jack Schuler. Jack Schuler was born in Streator, Illinois, where he was assigned female at birth and raised female. He attended Catholic schools and studied abroad in Japan his senior years of high school. He graduated from Briarcliff University in Sioux City, Iowa in 2005 with a degree in theater. He enlisted in the Marine Corps in 2006 and served as a cryptologic linguist, deploying throughout Southeast Asia aboard the USS Essex and to South Korea. Upon completion of his service, Jack enlisted into the U.S. Army Reserve as a chemical reconnaissance specialist and returned to Briarcliff University. He graduated in 2014 with a degree in secondary education, English, and history. He currently teaches English at Abraham Lincoln High School. Jack is a presidential elector for the Iowa Democratic Party. Welcome, Jack Schuler, please.
Thank you. As he said, my name is Jack Schuler. My whole transitioning process has been a little more public than I had expected. I certainly did not expect when I came out to myself about a year and a half ago that it would be like this. One of the questions I keep getting is people asking me, how did you know, or when did you know that you were transgender? And I look at it more as an always really should have known. And I feel that a lot of people in the LGBT community, you don't wake up one morning and go, oh my gosh, I'm gay. It's much more a process of chipping away at perhaps the way you were raised, if you were raised very conservatively, or if you were like me and you gave in to the socially accepted gender roles. So I had always grown up a little bit different. I was always kind of the weird kid, the ostracized kid. And it's all starting to make sense now. Like, I look back at my childhood and my life and I think, oh, that's what that was. I was born in 1983 in a small town in Illinois near Chicago. It was an industrial working class town. Very German and Polish and Irish and very, very, very Catholic, very conservative. And so, given the time I was born, I didn't know what trans was. I did not know exactly what the word transgender meant until I was an adult. Now, being a young person in the 90s and looking back on the things I enjoyed, the forms of entertainment, I realized that my introduction to transgender was not a good introduction. I look back at movies that I used to enjoy, like Ace Ventura, where the crux of the movie is about the villain being a transgender woman. And that's the sort of butt of the joke at the end, like, she's really a man. And, or I look back at the Austin Powers movies that I used to enjoy, and that catchphrase of the late 90s, she's a man, baby. And I think there was a lot that really hurt the transgender community there. We were very misrepresented, and it always seemed to be when we would appear in the media, it would be a trans woman. You never really saw trans men. So, and there was always this implication that it was somehow funny or a gross-out joke to discover that the woman you were with had been assigned male at birth. And coming off of that sort of that sort of culture being fed to me, I have to say I was very ignorant of who I was and of who other people were, and I had a very negative impression of the transgender community, which I think is why it took me many, many years to accept who I was and even to begin to explore who I was. Even though when I was a child, I was constantly mistaken for a boy. Like, my mother, from about the age 5 until 12, I was not allowed to wear baseball caps because I would get mistaken for a boy. And growing up where I was, not conforming to gender roles was kind of dangerous. There was a lot of, I was ostracized a lot. I had a lot of teasing from classmates. Of course, you know, older people, my parents, family members, teachers, they always be like, oh, you're such a tomboy. And they kind of shrug it off as a thing I would grow out of. I experienced quite a bit of bullying in grade school and high school because I never wore skirts. It took an act of God to get me into a dress. Which made doing drama in high school very difficult, because most roles for women in the theater are very gender-conforming. But I constantly felt like I had to adhere to these roles in order to be taken as normal. So any feeling that would suddenly crop up that maybe I wanted to be a boy, I would have to squash down immediately. There was a girl I went to high school with who I developed a crush on that I refused to acknowledge, except sometimes I would be sitting there in art class and I would look over at her and I would think, man, I really want to be Katie's boyfriend. I'd be like, no, no I don't, nope, nope, draw harder. And so it was something that I never really explored. However, as mentioned in the bio, I went to Japan as an exchange student, and I think that was probably one of the most life-changing events that ever happened to me. I got away from what was familiar, and I got away from everything that reinforced how I thought I was supposed to be. And I went to a new place, and I met new people who were vastly different from me. And I started to begin to wonder if everything I had grown up thinking was true. And I began to question myself. Which leads to everyone's favorite period of experimentation, college. College is where I first began to identify with the LGBT community. I first came out as bisexual because I felt something was drawing me towards men, but I really, really liked women. And I feel like that was probably the first tug I let myself feel of acknowledging the fact that I was truly male inside. However, I graduated from college in 2005 and enlisted in 2006 under Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which meant all the work I had done on myself to accept myself and to become open with myself had to go right back into the closet, which was... It was a difficult decision. I knew I wanted to serve my country. I knew I wanted to contribute to other service members. I had been watching on the news. They would do the roll calls of the people who had been killed in action. And I felt, here I am. I'm an able-bodied, educated person. And people my age are giving up their lives. Is there something I can do to help them? To help decrease this number. So I went into linguistics and intelligence because I was hoping that as an interpreter of some sort, so through doing intel, I could help keep our people alive so they could go back home to their families. But while I was in, I was actually, I was outed, not as trans, I was outed as a lesbian by a roommate, which was terrifying. I began dating a male friend of mine to kind of cover up for it. If you look at service members, former service members who are LGBT people, this is not uncommon. You find a lot of the old-fashioned sort of marriages of convenience, like you used to see in our community in perhaps the 50s and 60s. You saw a lot of those in the military where a gay man and lesbian, they would be like, all right, let's date to cover for ourselves. Let's do what we have to do so we can pass ourselves off as acceptable. For me, I actually was dating a straight man. And I let all the work I had done on myself in college fall by the wayside. We ended up getting married. Oops. But, though I do have to say, he is still one of my best friends. We are in the process, our divorce paperwork is almost done. It's very amicable, it's a good split. And coming to terms with that, anybody who has ever been in one of those convenience marriages or cover-up marriages can attest to the fact that You probably really do love that other person, but not in a romantic kind of way, not in a way that is fulfilling romantically for you or them, but you appreciate them. So when I got out of the military, we both went to Sioux City together, and I thought, this is it. I'm just going to be a married lady and maybe have some kids and be with this guy for the rest of my life, just like I was told I was going to do when I was in grade school. But when I got back to Sioux City, I started getting involved with the LGBT community, as I had been before when I was there previously at Briarcliff. And I remember going to Pride one year, and Ryan Salins had come to speak and talk about his book, Second Son. And I watched him, and I suddenly developed this curiosity of like, oh, that's a thing you can do? People who are born women can become men? And it was very intriguing, and I read his book. I devoured his book. I talked to him briefly. And that was probably another little seed planted in my head that maybe this is who I am. However, over the course of time, struggling with issues in my marriage, because as you know, marriage doesn't fix everything, and the things that I was not acknowledging about myself began to affect my relationship with my now ex-husband. And I could not I could not hide anymore. So I told him, I'm like, you know what? I think I want to be with women. Actually, you know, I know I want to be with women, and I am so sorry. And we agreed to split. And it was a little bit later that I finally told him, actually, I don't just want to be with women. I want to be a man who is with women. And he stopped and he paused. He's like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense, actually. I was like, so I'm a man. And he's like, I guess so. And I'm like, and we were married. He's like, yeah. And I'm like, that makes you gay. And he laughed. I'm glad he thought that was funny. Yeah, he's got a good sense of humor about everything, and he was one of the first people to embrace my new name, embrace my new identity, change his pronouns over. And I noticed as I began to come out to more and more people, friends, folks I served with in the military, one of the most common responses was, duh. I came out to one of my old platoon sergeants from the military, and I told him, I was like, Snow, I'm going to transition to male. And he's like, I'm not surprised. It's like, I probably could have told you that. There's one thing about Marines is we're really blunt. We get right to it. I felt a lot of acceptance. I felt more acceptance than rejection. And I think that really goes to show when somebody has a transgender LGBT person in their life close to them, it causes them to move towards compassion and move towards empathy. And that's why I feel it's very, very important for me as a high school teacher in Des Moines to accept the celebrity status I've kind of tripped and fallen into. It started with me running for a presidential elector. That means you get to be a member of the electoral college. So should Hillary Clinton win Iowa in November. I'm a Cubs fan. We don't take anything for granted. But when Iowa goes blue, hopefully, don't chase it. But should Iowa go blue, in December, I go to the state capitol and I cast the representative vote, one of four representative votes for the state of Iowa. So, and when I ran, because you have to be elected by your peers at your district convention, Iowa politics is very intricate and confusing, and it's kind of fun. But you are elected by the delegates at your district convention. And I ran, and you got 1 minute to give a speech. And there were like 20 of us. And I gave a little 1-minute speech where I outed myself as transgender, and I said it's because of the work of people like you who are committed to political change that people like me can exist openly. And I guess that was the right thing to say. And afterwards, someone running for office came up to me and she said, I think you're the first transgender presidential elector, like, ever. And I was like, oh. And she's like, you need to tell a journalist. And I was like, okay. And the next thing I know, I'm like talking to Courtney Crowder at the Register, and I'm being interviewed by Iowa Public Radio. And then Courtney gets a hold of me again. She's like, I want to do a profile on you for Trans in Iowa. And I'm like, okay. So it was all very sudden, sort of like a snowball. And now here I am, missing my fifth block, so I can speak to you about my experience. It's okay, I have a sub. They're not like, I didn't just like put on a movie and leave. But my experience has been a generally positive one. I feel very fortunate because I know not all transgender people have such positive, welcoming, warm experiences, even with my family. I came out to my sister first, and she helped me come out to my parents. And my mom cried, and then everything was okay. She was so happy that I had finally figured out who I was. And she's very accepting. She switched pronouns. She calls me Jack, except for when she's mad, and then she slips, and then she corrects herself. Well, she's been calling me by a different name for 33 years of my life, so it's something for her to get used to. My dad also, very accepting. He's a sort of quiet person. He'll read an article about the transgender experience, and then he'll send it to me on Facebook, and he's like, is this correct? And I'm like, yes. Yes, this is absolutely correct. He's like, okay. But with everything, everyone at Lincoln has been great. My principal actually led the charge in forcing the district to switch my name over on everything. They had dug their heels in, and they would not change my name on certain things because Jack is not yet my legal name. It's still in the process of being changed. So he pulled the strings and fixed that for me. All my coworkers have been greatly accepting. In fact, the Spanish teacher ratted out a few of them. She told me last week, she's like, so your transition is being noticed. And I'm like, good or bad? And she's like, oh, very good. A couple of the younger teachers were talking about how hot you are. And I'm like, boys, girls, single? So even the students, a friend of mine told me the other day that she was talking to her kids in their homeroom. We call it Rails time. It's basically a homeroom. But she was asking, she's like, so who are your favorite teachers so far? And one of them said, oh, I really like Mr. Schuler. He seems pretty cool. And this other student in the class had this moment of confusion. He's like, wait, Mr. Last year we had a Miss Schuler. And my friend's like, you can see the idea like circling his head, waiting for permission to land. And she said, yes, last year it was Miss Schuler, and now this year it's Mr. Schuler that's the same person. And again, the student thought, oh, okay. That makes sense. So the response has been, it's been great. It's been excellent. And I don't think I really could have asked for a better experience. At this time, I guess if there are any questions, I'll be happy to answer them. I hope I've touched on everything you might be curious about. Yes?
How did you choose the name Jack?
Actually, I have the book not with me, but I took a little notebook kind of like this, and I just wrote down the name of any male person I admired. And then I picked a few names that came from family members that I admired. And then I just started running down the list, looking at them with my last name, trying to figure out which ones went together, which ones didn't. The final list was the name Jack from my favorite author, Jack London. Dylan from my favorite poet, Dylan Thomas. Theodore from my favorite president. And Gunnar, which was my great-grandfather's name. And so in the end, I tried different versions of them, started eliminating, and I ended up with Jack for a first name and Gunnar for a middle name. Yes.
I'm interested in knowing how your insurance coverage has handled some of the costs associated with your process, and have you run into any obstacles that have prohibited you from accessing coverage?
Well, Des Moines Public School has pretty decent insurance. My hormones are covered. Some of my doctor's visits are covered. I think I owe a little bit out of pocket for blood work, but not very much. All my counseling is covered. I see a mental health specialist. First it was to help with the gender dysphoria, and now it's to help me accustom myself to being on testosterone. Because if you've lived with a certain hormone all your life, switching it up to the other one messes with your brain a little bit. And she does say that I've had one of the smoothest transitions she's ever seen so far. But there are things that are different, like processing emotions is something she helps me with. I feel like I have less access to the nuanced detail of my emotions. People use the roid rage stereotype for testosterone, that when trans men go on T, we suddenly turn into rage monsters. False. Though it does make me feel my anger differently. Whereas before, I could get this seething anger that would last for days. And now it's just this very quick burst of anger that sometimes surprises me, and then it's done, and I'm like, oh, okay. I don't cry as much anymore, which was shocking because I felt something, whereas before I was like, I would have cried, and I knew that I was on the verge of tears, at least pre-T, I would have been on the verge of tears, and nothing was there. I was not crying. And it was just very strange, because I was like, we're supposed to cry now, and we're not. How do I deal with this? So, and it's been an eye-opener. I have a lot of female friends, and they kind of started coming to me for advice about their boyfriends. It's like, when I argue with my boyfriend, he doesn't respond right away when I'm done talking. I'm like, yes, he's thinking. Give him a minute, he'll get his thoughts together, and then he'll tell you what he's thinking. I found that on T, I don't have immediate access to my emotions anymore. I have to think about them and process them more. Yes?
Harvey Milk always thought it was very important for members of our community to allow others to know who you are. And actually, I was president for defeating the anti-gay measure in California at one time. I'm thinking of this just because I had my own class reunion coming up, and I was wondering, I heard what you talked about before, right? And I was wondering if you attended a class meeting, and you said it was such a conservative community, and how were you received?
I missed my 10-year reunion because I was in the military. It was actually the same weekend as my wedding. Probably should have gone to the classroom. But let's see, in 5 years, it'll be my 20 year. I don't know if we're planning on doing a 15. I have no idea. But I'm friends with a lot of my childhood friends, not a lot, because I didn't have many, but I'm friends with childhood friends and former classmates on Facebook, and the response has been great. My best friend since the third grade, she's incredibly supportive. And then old classmates that I haven't heard from in years, I'll get a message out of the blue asking asking for education, asking for knowledge about what it means to be trans, because I think society has shifted greatly. And people who grew up unaccepting are now realizing the errors of their ways, so to speak, or are wanting to be more accepting because now they've met us, they've seen us, and they realize that we're human beings too. Yeah.
Do you find now that you only think on one side of your brain like a menu, or you're access to the other side as well?
No, I think I have access to both sides. I mean, it's interesting. I like the fact that I get to define masculinity for myself. And I think every man has the right to define masculinity for himself. I joke around with a few friends of mine because it's well known among my circle of friends and fellow teachers that I have some rather feminine hobbies, like drama and making candles. And because I'll make them and I'll give them away as gifts. I do it for stress relief. And one of my friends noticed, she's like, you present very masculinely. You hair, attire, you look manly. I'm like, thank you. She's like, you go to the gym, you lift. And I'm like, did you notice? And then she says, but you also have some very soft, soft sides. And I'm like, no, I don't. She's like, well, you're very kind towards women. You're very sensitive of people's emotions. You make freaking candles, dude. So no, I think every man has access to his full brain. And I think a lot of the things that we reject as not manly or accept as manly, those are purely social.
We had the speaker a couple of months ago was the gentleman that was supposedly to be hired by Dalian and rescinded his offer when they found out that he was gay and was living with a man. Have you found any type of backlash with the Des Moines school system? Because it's a public school system, whereas Dalian is private.
Not that I know of. After the Trans in Iowa piece came out, I noticed a lot of support on social media because I just, one day for giggles, I kind of wanted to read meme tweets for fun, and I clicked the Trans Iowa hashtag, and I actually found a lot of like students who had been in my class or students at Lincoln that I kind of knew in passing were being incredibly supportive. As for the school district itself, Isaiah McGee, the guy in charge of, I believe it's equal opportunity or equity, or I don't know exactly what title they have for him, but he told me when I told him I was going to transition before everything was public, he told me that don't worry about backlash. That's my job. I handle that. If anyone's got a problem with you, they can take it up with me, and I'll tell them to go away. And also my principal Lincoln, Paul Williamson, has been very supportive, and he said, don't worry, just focus on the classroom. If a parent has an issue, I'm the principal, that I handle those. So it's been very, very supportive. Yes?
Less that question, more just a comment. I think a lot of people in this room, since fifth grade, I struggle with being gay. You have the whole coming out thing, and I admittedly struggled with understanding trans until probably the last 2 to 3 years. And I really appreciate you telling your story, because for me, you've really connected with me in terms of understanding a lot of this, because it really is a coming out story. It's just a little different. And I think a lot of people in the country, in Iowa, struggle with it. And I think it's awesome what you're doing and what you're doing on behalf of the LGBT.
Thank you. Good.
Thank you, Jack. It's a tradition at First Friday to give a token of our appreciation for your speaking. It's a CD of Gay Men's Chorus.
Oh, excellent. Thank you.
Jack's speaking reminds us that historically, entertainment has not always been portrayed gay people in a positive way, and that has an impact on our society and our life journey. We all have a journey and of realizing who we are, and that's complicated by the norms in society that tell us how we should behave. I know some people take years, some people just wake up and when they're young, and I've heard people say, oh, I knew I was gay when I was in third grade. I'm like, wow. I told my mom I was gay, and she's like, well, I don't do that. And I said, well, why don't you tell me? I didn't come out until I was 30, so it took me a long time. Okay, so next meeting is October 7th. I have speaker lined up here. October 7th is Jim Maurer, candidate for Congress of Iowa's 3rd District. November, don't have the day, Dr. Maria Filippone, the Physicians for Social Responsibility after her recent trip to the Gaza Strip. And December, Mel Duncan, ED of International Nonviolent Peace Force, the preeminent international unarmed civilian protection advocacy agency. That's a lot to say. So that is all I have. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
I don't think I can stop it.
All right. Oh, it's not bad. 42 minutes. Oh, you got a slide unlocker.
Yeah, that's okay.